some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller. Well, let's see if we have any audio now. Mr. John, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
What the fuck? Hello? I'm telling you. So about 5 minutes before the show, my computer decides that it doesn't want to give me the internet stuff. So I said, okay, I'll like debug it and do all the stuff that you want to do when you want to have a fast running computer. And I said, I got 5 minutes. And so with like a minute and a half to spare, everything comes back on. It looks great. It looks like I'm connected. I see you. I go to talk to you, and there's nothing there.
How about
now?
And
my computer says, well, you know, we see that you're there and all of this, but it's not going to test or anything that, you know, it's actually working. So I shut down the browsers again, restarted the computer, the whole thing. And so now magically delicious 5 minutes into the program tonight, I want to welcome everybody to Monday's Rated G Radio with my special guest star, Mr. John Cooperman.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Okay. We're not doing a Verizon commercial because I don't have that much money.
Oh, so you can hear me.
I can hear you now, but it wouldn't let me hear you before.
Oh, well, welcome. I'm happy to be back.
Thank you. It's good
or
to have you
be
back.
The other way around. Yes, it should
yes,
be the other way
it's
around.
It's much better to have you back, John, than it is to have me back, that's for sure.
Well, I'm sure if we took a vote between silence and hearing me, it would be really close. I think silence might even edge me out.
I think it just depends upon the day of the week. But I would say 9 times out of 10, you know, 4 out of 5 doctors agree they'd much rather listen to John Cooperman than silence, especially on a radio show.
Oh, that's true. The moment of silence was
The silence of death.
Right. We were just using the cones of silence like we did in Get Smart.
The cones
Remember
of I have
silence.
Not heard the cones of silence before. That's a great way to call it.
So if your listeners, if they think, oh, the first minute or two of the show was silent. No, we were just using the cones of silence.
We were praying.
We were.
I don't know about
yeah.
you. It was a moment of prayer.
We are both very religious people.
Extremely religious.
Yes.
Well, you know, I am blonde Jesus.
Yes.
There you go. There you go. Well, John, I'm thrilled that you're here for a brand new month of April or March with us. We're headed into April very soon. We'll have you back next month, of course. But what's been going on since we last chatted in February?
Well, let's see. I'm sorry. I'm in my car right now. I'm at a park because I can't be near home because my little one will come in and she can interrupt the whole thing. So I drive around the corner.
Is your mother-in-law still living with you?
Oh, she's gone. She left last month.
Nice. Congratulations.
She left last month. Thank you. Would you like to hear my impersonation?
Yes, impersonation. I want to hear your impersonation. It's terribly racist, but yes.
It's terribly, yes. Well, it's just an impersonation, everybody.
Okay.
This is her talking to Mia, my daughter. It's really cold outside, and this is what Lola is what we call her. This is what she suggests that Mia needs. Okay, and here we go. Mia, would you like a sweeter? And there you go. That's my impersonation.
And what is she asking her for?
A sweater.
Oh, sweeter. Yeah. That's
Mia, would you like your sweeter? I'm like, what are you saying? And then I think I told you on the last show, I can't remember if I did. I think I did, where she was saying something to Mia, and I said, Jen, that's really nice. Your mom is actually speaking her language with Mia. I think that's great. And my wife goes, she's speaking English. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
I mean, her, it's just really bad. Yeah. But she's gone.
She's gone. Now, is she gone for good, or is she just gone for the time being?
She'll be back in June, but hopefully for just a couple weeks. I am going to go on strike if she comes back longer than a couple weeks.
We just need to send you out on a national tour.
You know, my buddy and I, my buddy Dan O'Day, who I'd like to have on the show one day.
Yeah, let's bring him on.
Dan O'Day, he's a comedian, and he's the host at a lot of my shows. We're trying to work on comedy venue in Portland. We're trying to be up there for a gig in Portland. We're also trying to get in Vegas, which, you know, if we can't make it in the big clubs, I'm sure any strip club will have us for a couple minutes as long as we have singles.
Yeah. I mean, you make rain. It's going to be drought season there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, We can make it rain. We're going to make it rain with tears from laughter and bring that town back to no drought, because people are, it's going to recycle. It may be a little salty, but we're going to take out that drought with tears of laughter, Garrett.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's the Tears of Laughter comedy tour.
I think you just came up with our comedy tour title, Tears of Laughter. Save the water, Tears of Laughter. I like it.
And the drought. The Woe Is Me Trail of Tears comedy tour.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And we just had a show at the Ice House, actually, this past Friday.
It was Friday. I kept telling everybody about it. I hope people showed up and were making a big commotion over you.
Was sold out. It was a great, great, lively crowd, sold out, had wonderful people on the show, and by wonderful people, I mean myself, but, you know, the other people were good, too, but, of course, the highlight of the evening in my eyes was me.
Of course. I mean, you are the main event.
I am, and it was really nice. Oh, and my wife actually came to a comedy show. She came.
So
she
how
came.
Did you guys meet originally?
My wife and I?
Yeah.
I thought I told you at Macy's.
Okay. So, if you told me, it just went in one ear and out the other, because you tell so many funny jokes, I have to be selective on how much junk Superman I retain in an hour. So
I thought maybe you met
like a comedy show.
No, we met years ago when I was in college. I went to college till I was like, I don't know, 26. I loved college. I never wanted to leave. And so we met Macy's when I was working there while I was in college. And Jenny was right off the boat. No, I'm just kidding. But she just came here to America, and she was working at Macy's too. And she, for a lot of wonderful reasons, liked me and thought I was very handsome. And everyone warned her, you shouldn't see him. He's a player. He goes out with the ladies. I guess I had a reputation at Macy's of asking a lot of girls out. Yeah.
So did you date a lot of girls?
I dated a lot of Macy's girls, yes.
Wow.
I did. I will admit it. When there was a new girl, my radar went off. Beep, there's a new girl in Shiseido. I got to go down there, you know, and check her out. And but everyone warned her, and actually her and I were friends for many years before I said, okay, let me end my life and let's get married.
Wow. So what was it about your wife that just really knocked your socks off out of, you know, all these Macy girls that you were out carousing around with?
She basically is the only one who basically stalked me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. that's a good. Yeah.
Yeah, she kept going until she got her answers. There you go.
There you go. There you go. Well, I'm glad the mother-in-law is gone because you need that little bit of a break. June does not seem that far away, though.
I know. It's going to be April in a couple of weeks.
Why is she coming back so soon?
She needs to get a doctor checkup.
Oh, okay.
And she can't do it in the Philippines. I'd like her to do it in the Philippines because they don't know what they're doing. But she's going to come out here and get her checkup at Kaiser in Sunset.
Okay.
So if anyone, the Sunset Kaiser out here in L.A., shout out to you. And so she'll come out here. She'll get checked out. They'll say you're not normal. She won't care, and she'll go back home.
There you go.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks.
But what I was going to say, in 2 weeks, right, because she needs to see everybody. Everyone's just so excited to see her. But my wife was actually at the comedy show on Friday night at the Ice House. And it's the first show she's been to in 5 years.
Wow!
Yeah.
Now, did she surprise you and show up, or did you know that she was going to be there, so you had to bring your A game?
She came with some of her work friends and said, I'm going tonight. And I was like, what? So she came, and luckily she picked a good night where it was sold out and the comedians were all solid. I even mentioned that in my set. I said, my wife is here, and she hasn't seen a show of mine in 5 years, and everyone clapped. And I said, you can tell how supportive she is of my choice of doing comedy. So, and she got mad at me. But it's true. You'd come to more
of
than
course.
One show every year if you supported me, but that's okay. How was your weekend, Garrett?
My days and weeks just kind of all go together. I've got so much going on right now that, you know, I work on different projects, and I finally told my record label last night, I said, you know, I need to get my book done. And they said, you need to write lyrics for 3 more songs because we are having a new album come out this fall, and you've got your remix album coming out in June. And I said, this is great, and I can multitask in my head, but when it really comes down to it, I can really do one creative thing at a time, and I've got to get the book done. And they said, the book is going to sell, but it's not going to sell like you need your album to sell. And I said, I just need to get the book done because I'm going to have 3 books out this year, and I've got to get cranked out on the other 2. And the prioritization needs to be the book. Then I write the 3 songs. Then I go write the 2 other books, and then so they were like, well, hurry it up. And I said, okay, then what are we doing at a movie? So the weekends, but it's good. It's all good stuff. It's just, you know, I'm lucky that I'm able to do so many different creative things right now. And so over the weekend, I also posted on Facebook that I got my plaques in the mail, not like the plaques that are in your arteries, but the plaques that are in the mail. And it was for my album Blonde Jesus, winning Best Rock Electronica Album from the Academy Music Awards, and then also the Best Pop Music Video for Guess What? It's Christmas Time. So those awards came, and I posted those on Facebook. So that was really kind of cool.
That's cool. That's very cool, Gary.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Very cool. So I've got an awards something or other that's happening in April, and I've got Team Garrett that we get to go. They're going to take us by limousine and the whole thing. So I'm very excited, and I'll, of course, be blasting that on social media, but that'll be coming up. But I've got a ton of other projects I'm working on. I've got a science fiction song that I just need to get the artwork back, and then that goes off to the author. So it's a theme song for a science fiction novel. So, you know, authors nowadays on Amazon and, you know, wherever you sell books, they always do these book trailers. So my song is going to be the kind of like the back end of promoting her book, and it's really, really a cool song. The author wrote the song, you know, she kind of sang it into her iPhone, and then I, you know, made the lyrics work, and then my producer did the music for
wow.
it, and it turned out really, really nice. And so we'll be using that on the remix album, and then I had the songs we've picked out for the remixes. I've sent that off to my remixer in the Netherlands, and then I'm working on a song for a new movie that's disco. The song is a disco song, but it's a song for a new movie. I'm not going to say what it is until, you know, the ink is dry and all of that, but it's totally a fun project. And I'm working on one of the legendary producers of disco music in the 70s and 80s. And he's worked with people like Barbara Streisand, Donna Summer, Cher multiple times. So it's, you know, somebody who, you know, really knows what to do with disco. So we'll be looking at bringing disco back, but that's what I did over the weekend. So, you know, and here I am today going, what am I going to do? And I'm just grateful that, you know, you're on the show with me tonight.
Well, that's very nice. That's very nice. My friend, she actually saw a movie over the weekend, and she went to this movie theater where, because you're speaking of movies, you're doing movies and stuff. A movie theater in Los Angeles. I don't know if you've heard of these movie theaters. The name escapes me right now. But it's a movie theater where you sit in these, like, big, comfy recliner chairs.
Yes.
And they serve you food. They rub your back. I mean, they do everything. It's ruining how you watch movies. Exactly. That's exactly what I told her. I said, why don't you get a pedicure there? Yet they can have one of those nail women with one of those coal miner lights on her forehead.
Yeah.
And she can be painting and all that while they're watching the movie, and a little pedicure. They can put their feet in the water. I mean, it's ruining how we watch movies.
You know, John, I will tell you, that's the first time, last night was the first time that I've ever been to a movie theater like that, where they come and serve you in the I'm telling you, it was a rock star experience. Now, I will be also in the same breath telling you, I'm grateful that I did not pay for my movie ticket. The record people I were with bought my ticket in. So that was like $15 or some ridiculous amount of money. For three people, it was $40-some-odd, which, just when I saw that ring up, I hope somebody has a student discount. And they did. But, you know, going in there, they ordered, you know, chicken fingers and burgers and fries, and the food was, like, really good. Now, of course, you know, coming off of my 6 weeks of eating lettuce and, you know, a lot of air, I actually ordered a tub of popcorn and I ate the entire thing without any remorse.
Oh.
It was good popcorn. I'm really, really cheap, John. I mean, I like going to the dollar. I like going to the $3 theater on Sundays because it's $1.50, you know, and then I take my extra popcorn bag that I got and I get a free bag of popcorn. That's the kind of guy I am when it comes to going out. And I don't like to go with people because then I have to interact with them. So I don't mind going by myself. Last night's experience was great, but I would probably be very reluctant to say I'm going to go eat chicken fingers at AMC theaters and watch Expectorant or whatever the movie is.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that's so wonderful with your song.
Yeah.
Here.
It totally caught me off guard. They said, you know, they sent me an email. I said, we're going to be giving you this award. And I said, I didn't pay you to do this, did I? And they said, no, you know, we're giving you this award because your album was submitted to us. And so the next thing, you know, there we go. I'm just absolutely honored. And it's a nice validation that, you know, the work that I've done is, you know, people enjoy in some level. So I'm grateful and I can't wait to go.
That's great. Let me ask you a question. My friend and I were having a debate, and let's just ask you about this. Your top five comedy, TV comedies of all time. What are they?
You know, I think it's interesting because TV has changed so much over the years from the style of comedy and what's socially acceptable. And, you know, your state when you were growing up and things like that. You know, I can look back and look at sitcoms like All in the Family and The Jeffersons and just think they are the most hysterical thing ever. Watching them now, I'm a little, ooh, boy, I can't believe they said some of these things. You know, so you have those types of things. But I love Mary Tyler Moore. You know, the classic sitcoms like that from the early 70s, I just think were brilliant. you know, you get into the 80s, or, you know, even the late 70s, there was Three's Company. Then the 80s, I think the real standouts were, you know, like Cheers.
Cheers. My number one is Cheers. My number
yeah,
one
Cheers.
Is Cheers.
And then, you know, that went right into Frasier for another 10 years. So that whole franchise
yep.
ran 20 years on network television without a hitch. So I would probably say, you know, those would be the ones that I would think of. But I know that there was tons of other, you know, great programming out there. What are some of yours besides Cheers?
My top ones would be Cheers, Seinfeld.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You got to put Lucy in there. You got to put I Love
Yeah,
Lucy
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
You got to put Lucy in there. And then after that, some people may say Friends. Friends isn't in my top five. Now, Friends would be in my top five of trend-setting shows. You know what I mean? Like,
sure, yeah, yeah.
Because of the hair, they wanted to get... But
the
Rachel,
Jennifer, yeah, the Rachel.
Right, they wanted the Rachel
the
cut and all that stuff. And so that would be in probably my top five trendy whatever. And also in the top five trendy thing, you have to put the Monkees in there too. Now, of course, not many people may know the Monkees, but I'm talking about Hey, We're the Monkees in the 60s.
I loved the show. That was I would watch it on Saturday
yeah.
morning TV.
Yeah. They sold more records than the Beatles and Rolling Stones back in 1967. So the power of TV with them was the biggest reason for their musical success. So that has to be in the top, whatever, of trend-setting television. Yeah,
it'd be fun to go back almost decade over decade and just say, you know, which sitcoms A do you remember, and then you know which ones left a lasting impression, because you know the ones that
right.
still, you know, I still think of this to this day, but I haven't seen it, you know, in 40 years. Is Hazel? You remember Hazel?
No.
Well, I used to watch Hazel when I would be folding my papers to go deliver my paper out on WTBS Superstation Atlanta at 5 in the morning. And Hazel would come on back-to-back with usually Leave It to Beaver or, you know, or something like that. Or, you know, the what was the Ozzie and Harriet, you know? So it was all of those. I Love Lucy, you know, so it was all within that same, you know, mid-60s type of, you know, TV shows where they went from, you know, black and white to color. You know, even I Dream of Jeannie or Bewitched. You know, we forget about
Jeannie.
Those as well. Yeah.
Oh, Jeannie.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what was the worst sentence? This is an old joke. What the worst sentence was ever said on old TV? It was, "You were a little hard on the beaver last night." That's one of the... "You were a little hard on the beaver last night." Whoa! That was so risque for 1950s.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
but nobody probably picked that up until like the 70s or the 80s, right?
Yeah. Is there any callers, Garrett? I want to talk to your viewers.
I do too.
Not your viewers, your listeners.
Well, they could be viewers, too, depending upon how they listen. I've got a ton of people to ping me here on Facebook. So I know Wesley's listening. I got Michael listening. I got Charlotte listening. So if any of you want to call in, Scott, you're listening. Call in at 323-657-1493. You got to press 1. Otherwise, we just think you're calling in to listen off your phone, which is totally fine, too. John's listening. We got Paul listening. Simon's listening out of the UK. So it's like 3 in the morning or something like that. Thank you, Simon, for tuning
wow.
in. Mary Lou was listening, but she had to go back to studying, and she's out of Brisbane, Australia. She's trying to get 3 years of college done in 2, so she's cramming a lot, and she, you know, pokes in when she can.
Mary Lou.
Yeah.
My buddy. Yeah. My buddy.
She loves you. I think she's got a little, you know, Aussie crush on you.
She does. She does have an Aussie crush on me, and that's okay.
That's okay. Yeah,
there was a, yeah.
I was going to say, so what are you going to be doing for Easter?
Easter egg hunt with my daughter.
Okay. And where do you do that at?
one of the wife's cousin's houses near where I live, and they just put all these eggs in the lawn, and there's a couple eggs that has money in it. Well, not a lot of money, but lots of coins. And there's one egg every year that has $20 in it.
Nice.
This is the year I'm going to go Easter egg hunting. I need that 20, Garrett.
That 20 bucks would be really nice right about now.
I need some gas. I need some gas, and that 20 bucks would be really good. But it'll be fun. Mia's, she's already looking forward to it. She wakes up every morning now for the past 2 days or 3 days. Is it Easter today? No, Sunday. Okay, so she's waking up because she just can't wait.
Do you remember what it was like? Did you participate in the Easter egg hunts or eating of the chocolate bunnies or any of that type of stuff when you were a kid?
I did. How about you?
I loved it. And you know the kind of Easter eggs that I loved the most were the tiny little Easter eggs that would be like malted milk balls but shaped like, you know, Easter eggs. Those were my favorite. I really never liked the Cadbury, you know, chocolate that was such crappy chocolate anyway. You bit into it and then it was like, you know, the gooey white and yellow egg came out. Didn't like that.
No.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite Easter candy? Did you like jelly beans?
That's my favorite candy probably of all time, jelly beans.
Now, do you have a flavor that is really your hot button? Or, I mean, do you like them all?
The hot button. Oh, my God. I have a red jelly bean. Look out. He's turned on by a jelly bean.
There you go. Well, you know, they have those, you know, those Jelly Belly, you know, jelly beans. And they get the weirdest concoction of flavors. But, you know, the thing is those jelly beans are so tiny, and you get like, you know, one, because they got 7,000 flavors, you get one per big jar, and you eat the one that you really like, and, you know, then you're screwed because there's, you know, no other, you know, similar flavors left in the whole thing, and you got to eat like cactus tangerine next. And you're like, this tastes horrible.
I want the big, fat jelly beans. Give me all that freaking sugar in one big jelly bean. Let me num num num. They're so good.
See, I liked lime, but I loved orange.
What about you? Do you have a favorite candy?
I'm not really a candy person anymore. But if I start eating, you know, if I take like an M&M or something, it's just, you know, it's a slippery slope and just straight downhill. But, you know, I loved Reese's peanut butter cups. You know, I loved Payday candy bars. And those are really my two big go-tos. Otherwise, it'd be like a Hershey bar. Now I look at that and I go, ugh, I can't believe I'd eat that. But, you know, if I eat candy now, which is really, really rare, it would usually be like something dark chocolate. Maybe like, you know, I'll go to like Sprouts and their bulk food. I'll get the, you know, chocolate covered something if it's on sale. It's usually chocolate covered almonds or chocolate covered walnuts. And, you know, I figured, well, there's a nut in there and the nut has alleged health benefits. And then there's dark chocolate. So there you go. But I can't eat tons of them. I can eat, you know, a small handful and I'm pretty much okay. Do you, what really sends you off the deep end?
As far as candies?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not talking, well, you know, you anything that sends you off the deep end. We
gummy
need a top
bears.
10 list.
Gummy bears.
Now, have you ever eaten sugar-free gummy bears?
They are horrible.
They do things to you, so I've heard.
Yes. It made me, I mean, after eating those, it made it inverted. I don't want to get into it, Garrett, but it got a little hairy.
Yeah, well, for anybody who doesn't have any clue what we're talking about, you need to go read some reviews about sugar-free gummy bears that you can buy at the larger discount bulk places. And some of the stories that you can read online are going to leave you in stitches. So if you haven't gone to the bathroom, do that first because you will lose control laughing so hard. And it really is not funny. But the reviewer that will write a lot of these is quite hysterical. So I'm glad that you don't eat the sugar-free ones.
it's pretty fun. I've been working out a lot too lately, Garrett. I've been really working out.
Well, summer's coming. You got to look good for, you know, speedo weather.
Yeah, I hate sit-ups. I hate doing sit-ups.
What's the alternative? Do you do core? Do you do plank or anything?
No. Do I plank? That sounds so weird, but that's funny. No, I don't plank.
Okay.
I don't plank. But I just, you know, I want to be in super tip-top shape this summer. I'm not getting any younger. I want to take off my shirt in the mirror, and I want to turn myself on. That's what I want to do.
Well, if we gave you an extra, like, five at one of your shows, would you do your show topless?
I would. If I thought I was looking so good, I would take off my shirt at one. I would strip. I would do strip comedy. If you don't laugh at a joke,
that would be
an article of clothing off. Strip comedy.
Or it could be the harder they laugh, the more you take off. I mean, you'd have to have the psychology of this down, you know, to draw this out for your 5-minute set. If you're, you know, just up there doing that, if you're doing an hour show or a 2-hour show, you know, you'd have to be careful, because otherwise, you know, you'd be naked in about 5 minutes, and everybody'd be going, "Wow," and that's all
yeah.
they do for the next hour.
Oh God! Speaking of naked, real quickly, I was using the bathroom, and Mia walked in on me.
Uh oh.
Yeah, I had to turn around real quick. She's like, "What is that, Daddy? What is?" I'm like, "Let's get out of here." You know, she didn't really see anything. And my wife says something similar. She goes, "Where is it? Where is it?" That's just a joke. That's just a joke.
Yeah, more sit-ups, definitely. Definitely more sit-ups.
No, but that's, More sit-ups will make it look bigger. That's what I've heard.
You know, they say for every 10 pounds you lose, you gain like an eighth of an inch. So, you know, when I lost 50 pounds, I almost had a half an inch, you know, come back. So there you go.
Right, right. And when it's on camera, you know, it adds 10 pounds.
It adds 10 pounds.
So,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
10 pounds of girth. All right, Gary.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
There we go.
You're
just calling it, you know, the way the camera sees it. So I've heard some really crazy things about tuna fish being recalled. What's going on with bumblebee?
Bumblebee tuna. They're recalling the tuna because they're saying what's in it now is contaminated. Not only will it harm you, they're saying it can kill you. Kill. What the hell? Kill. And I just remember, and I'm sure you remember this as a kid, and one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this, it brings me back to my childhood in the 80s, the bumblebee commercials. Yum, yum, bumblebee, bumblebee tuna, yum, yum, bumblebee. Do you remember that commercial?
I love those commercials.
And Mr. Mom, I think, actually took a little bit of the commercial and made it into their movie, kind of, because remember the wife,
Terry Garr.
Yeah, the wife, Terry Garr, was the marketing person for the tuna fish.
Yeah.
And they
sang
songs, and that's all because of bumblebee tuna popularity. They did tuna fish slogans or whatever it was they did.
So why is the tuna killing people?
I don't. There's something in there. I don't know. Donald Trump seems to think it's, well, no, I'm not going to go there. That would sound awful. But anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this, Garrett.
You could have gone with that.
I don't eat tuna fish that much.
I don't
either. What about you?
Uh-uh. Remember when what was the Atkins diet came out like a long, 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 long time ago? It's like mid-90s,
yes.
Late 80s.
Yes.
I did the Atkins diet then, and I would eat tuna fish with a dill pickle for lunch. And I thought that was just, you know, absolutely fantastic. But over the years, I really have not been a tuna fish person. I don't not like
right.
it. I just don't eat bread. So if I don't eat bread, I'm usually not eating tuna fish.
I'm trying not to eat bread. I'm trying not to eat bread anymore. If I'm going to get any carbs, it's going to be from fruit and nuts.
No. What, now, what's your favorite nut? Now, are you a
salt.
Purist? Do you just go for the naked ones, or do you like dry roasted or flavored, or what do you do?
Salt and vinegar almonds. If anyone's never tried that out there,
no.
Try it.
Where do you get those?
Salt and vinegar. They're at the market. They're at
what?
The market. I was there earlier today, and my trainer at the gym last week, she told me I should have more nuts in my diet. So I'm getting almonds. I'm sure some of your listeners said, "Oh, we're waiting for a balls joke because I said nuts in my diet." But I'm not going there, people. I'm not going.
Well,
there.
Yeah, because you're too much of a stand-up kind of a guy to, you know, talk about balls when we're talking about nuts.
I have too much class to talk
yeah.
about my balls while I'm trying to have a serious conversation about nuts.
Right, because it would just it would devolve into conversations about the Kardashians after that, and we just don't need to go there.
Right, and manscaping skills, I'm not going into that right now, Garrett.
Okay.
I like almonds, so now my friend who's one of the trainers at the gym I work out at, she says, no breads, fruits, and nuts. And I said, yeah, but nuts have a lot of fat in it. She goes, if you're working out, it's okay. It's okay.
Well, you do
it's
need you know,
protein.
some fats in your diet. And, you know, like for me, I mean, I like nuts, but again, I just don't have a lot of restraint. So if I have, you know, so there's my downfall because that falls into the salty crunchy. So if I have one, then I can have 7,000. So
exactly.
I have to be careful. But what to get some fat that's good for my diet. You know, because I pretty much eat just salad. You know, that's my meal pretty much the entire day. But
right.
it's a huge, huge bucket of salad. I'll dice up an avocado and put it on there. So that adds a little creamy, you know, healthy fats to it as well. But I wish I could
yeah,
be like
okay.
you, John. You know, salt and vinegar, almonds. Oh my God, that sounds like heaven.
You wish you could be like me. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But you're so nice.
Okay.
But as far as salt and vinegar almonds, yeah. I'll probably polish off the whole can. I won't. I'm going to try to have and limit myself to a certain amount, and there we go. Did you see this woman at the Trump protest? She slapped and hit a horse.
What?
She slapped a horse.
Why would you
horse.
Slap a horse?
I guess it was a Mexican horse. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you very much. You went right into that, Garrett. That was awesome. We were a team. We were a team. We were like Laurel and Hardy right there. You just set me up.
There you go. There you go. Thank you, John. Thank you. Thank you.
You set me up pretty good for that one. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. So what's going on in tennis?
Now, I haven't read this whole thing about it, but, I should have read up a little bit more about this. I don't know if it was a tennis player or somebody said that Serena Williams and all the women tennis players should be on their knees and thank see, I can't even name the male ones that they were talking about. As far as I'm concerned, tennis would be Serena Williams.
Right.
I mean, when I think of tennis,
nowadays,
I think of Serena.
Yeah, that's
I
it.
Can't
you think of Williams sisters.
I can't think of the guy's name the guy was talking about. Because he was saying you need to thank this guy for tennis and its popularity. No,
let's just say
I
John McEnroe for fun.
Yeah, I wouldn't know one tennis player if it wasn't for Serena Williams. And I used to be on the tennis team in high school. I love tennis. But I don't watch it much anymore. But as a kid, I used to love it. Loved watching tennis.
Were you any
hated
good?
I made the tennis team.
But that doesn't
good.
Mean anything.
Well, it was a public school. But I did very well. I used
okay.
to serve very well. I used to volley. I had a good forehand, a good backhand. I even made a cute little noise when I hit the ball hard. I went, I did that too.
I would hope you would make the cute little noise.
I made cute little noises when I hit the ball. And if I missed the ball, it'd be, you know, I would do that too.
Wow. Okay. And I know who I'm not going to play tennis against anytime soon.
Yeah. Trump.
Yeah, I'm not going to play against Donald Trump. You know, because, well, number one, I don't have a tennis racket. Number two, I don't think I could get into the same country club that he'd probably be playing tennis at. But you know, I can't get by one show without talking about my love of George Michael's music and the fact that you've met him and had a picture taken with him. But there's this little known singer that is coming to the LA area for a string of sold out concerts. I don't know if it's this week or next or if it's already happened, but it's Mr. Bruce Springsteen. Do you know, are you a huge Bruce fan?
I've seen him in concert a couple times, yeah.
Have you?
When the Staples Center out here in L.A. opened up, this was like 1999, he was the first performer there. The first thing there. Yeah, it wasn't a Laker game. It wasn't a Kings game. The Boss, he was the first show at that arena.
So how do you get picked for something like that?
At the time, I worked at a music magazine. This was 99. And I saw he did a week of shows. I caught the fourth show or the third show. And it was cool. It was cool because we saw this new arena. And it was just really amazing. But my friend, she just recently saw him actually at the Sports Arena out here in L.A., which they're ripping down. They're ripping down that Sports Arena because it's been around.
I mean, the Coliseum?
Not the Coliseum. I mean, they will eventually remodel that. I just burped, Garrett. I hope you didn't hear that.
I thought it was a fart.
Did you hear
my
burp?
It was a burp. No, I didn't hear it.
Oh, come on now. Okay.
I didn't hear it. I'd tell you. I'd be what? What
right.
the heck?
I tried
to
hold in my burp. I'm trying to be a pro here, and I tried to hold in my burp.
Well, it's an hour. You can't expect to hold in everything.
Actually, I just urinated while we were on. They're ripping down that arena, and he played. And my friend said he played 3.5 hours.
That is just, to me. That's just kind of like insane.
That's insane. Without a break.
You know, and I'm probably going to make the assumption that if his ticket time said 8 o'clock, it was probably real close to 8 o'clock when he came on.
The ticket, I believe, said 7:30.
Or 7:30. So 7:30 to 10.
So he probably began at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
He probably began at 8, ended by midnight.
Yeah.
And he didn't sing my favorite song.
Which is Pink Cadillac?
Glory Days.
Oh, I love Glory Days. How do you not sing Glory Days? You got to play the hits.
You got to play Glory Days. But he has an array of hits, obviously. He's been around a very long time.
1 or 2 years, yeah, exactly.
No, he's been around since the 70s.
No, that's what I mean. You know, he's been around, like, forever.
Oh, I thought you said 1 or 2.
I did. He's been around a year or two. You know, yeah, this Bruce Springsteen, you know, this flash-in-the-pan guy.
The boss!
Yeah.
The boss.
So what do you think about these artists today? You know, like these legacy artists, like the, you know, Barbara Streisands, the Bruce Springsteens, the, you know, you pick your artist du jour, who, you know, used to have hit after hit after hit after hit after hit, and then put out an album that, quite frankly, is, you know, spectacular, but they don't have any quote unquote hits on it because radio has just really changed from what they used to play. Even adult contemporary, you know, doesn't really get on board unless it's Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber, which just, you know, that's a whole different conversation for a different day. Thinking that's adult contemporary, you got to be kidding. But you have, you know, artists that haven't really had a hit unless it's been like a, you know, flash in the pan movie, you know, something or other, you know, for the last 15, 20 years. But then they go and they can sell out five nights at Staples Center, you know, without even blinking an eye. What do you think about the state of that right now?
I think if you're an oldies act, like Iron Maiden sold out Staples Center, it was their last shows.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Iron Maiden? It was one of them. Which one?
AC/DC?
AC/DC. I just sneezed. See, I couldn't hold that in here.
Yeah, see, that one I could hear. Bless you. Bless you, my child.
Thank you. Thank you, Garrett. As far as the oldies, you know, like Elton John. I love Elton John. I've seen mm-hmm. Elton John in concert like 10 times. Easy. He can't sing anymore very well. He can't reach any notes. He has the backup singers reach all of his notes now.
But that's really the same for most singers, you know, as they start to mature, you know, they're not hitting those super high notes any longer. You know, if I saw Stevie Nicks in concert probably, you know, I don't know, 8-9 years ago back in Phoenix, and she didn't do any of those high notes, and I don't think anybody expected her to, and she still brought the house down. So it's, you know, they get a lot of forgiveness from fans who, you know, are really just out there to hear, you know, the boss play Glory Days when he doesn't play Glory Days.
Right. But like Elton John, he can't sing Beyond the Yellow Brick, and then the backup singers go.
See, we can go on tour, John.
Yeah. And then once they're singing Road, he just goes,
there you go. We could be Elton John's backup singers.
I think we got something. I think we got something.
Call George and see if you can get the you know, a little, you know, fix in here for us.
Do you ever think that Elton John sounds like Katharine Hepburn a little bit?
There's a little bit of that going on. I won't deny it.
Like a belly full of beer. Oh, and then like a shotgun full of monkeys. And the old lady, she don't care. It's a Saturday night's all right for fighting. Saturday night's all right, all right, all right.
I love that. That is,
thank
that's
you.
Actually,
my Catherine
that
Catherine.
Is. You need to take that on the road. Do you do that on your act? You need to.
I do something with Katharine Hepburn. Am I allowed to do it on your?
Sure.
Wave?
I mean, it's up to you. That's, you know.
The count from Sesame Street. The count. We all know the count. The count and Katharine Hepburn, the old Katharine Hepburn. If they were to have sex, you wouldn't be able to tell them apart. It would sound like thank you.
That is hysterical.
I hope your listeners enjoyed that, and I hope they didn't, you know, shut it off or slam their headphones down going, what a bastard. He's insulting Katharine Hepburn.
Katharine Hepburn!
And then some people would probably throw their headphones down going, how dare he insult Cookie Monster like that?
Yeah, well, there is the Cookie Monster thing. So,
I love
John,
Cookie Monster.
We got about 6 minutes left. What is coming up for you? Do you know where you're going to be performing next? Where should we plan to come out and support comics like you around Southern California?
Next, what are we, in March? I'm losing.
We are.
I'm losing it. I am losing it. I have a couple dates in April, Garrett. Would you like to hear them?
Yes.
Altabella Winery, again, in Westlake Village, April 7th.
Okay, cool. I'm writing this down.
Yeah, April 7th. And then I believe, I'm not 100% sure yet. You'll have to look on my website that I haven't updated in a month, but I will put this on there. The Comedy Store in Hollywood, California,
I'm shooting for April 16th. That's a Saturday. But I will have more information on that closer. And then I've been doing a lot. I was on a show on a network called Dromebox.
Cool. What did you do there?
I was a part of an interview. Let me make sure that's the name. I want to get the name right because they were really nice with me the other day. Drone. Is it Drone? Yes, it's called Drome, D-R-O-M-E, M as in Mary, Dromebox Labs. And they are one of those little channels you can get on an antenna or some weird cable channels. And I had a great time there last week. I did an interview with a guy named Adam Kapnick. I can't even say his last name. My speech has been bad tonight, Garrett, hasn't it?
It's actually really spectacular. I love it.
No, it's been horrible tonight. The guy's name who was interviewing me, Adam Papagan, very funny guy, very, very funny. I had him on my old show when I did the Beverly Hills shows. Remember when we had my host on with us that one time? He was on one of those shows that I was a did you hear that? I couldn't say producer, Garrett. My speech
only
is
because,
horrible.
Yes, because you brought it up, and now that you brought it up, it's on the front of your cerebral cortex, and that's why.
It's on the front of my tongue. Going, that was the problem in high school. When I had to take a language class, okay, good, I'll take a Spanish class. Good, I've always wanted to know what it's like to stutter in two languages. That's just great. I don't want to know that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm glad that you're going to be out there working and staying busy and making people laugh. So if we can give me a reminder before April, I think I wrote down the 16th at the Comedy Store. So if that's something that I can make, I'd love to come up and support you there and laugh a bunch.
I'd like you to come to the Ice House. And I'd like to come to the Ice House too.
I think
the Ice House would be good because those are my shows that I actually run and produce. And I'm wheezing now. What the hell is wrong with me? Anyway, I guess it's these allergies. I'm at the park, remember?
Well, that's why.
Around here is getting to me.
Yeah. Okay.
But if you come to the Pasadena Ice House, I will totally set you up because it's my show.
I'll
get you a couple drinks, whatever you need. I'll get you some carrots.
Okay.
Whatever.
I'd like a nice salad and some, you know, tap water.
I will get that arranged.
Okay.
I will
John,
get that arranged.
Real quick, what's your website again? And then I'm going to, because I had that 5 minutes of contact silence at the beginning of the show, I need to tell everybody what's happening the rest of this week.
You got it. My website, jkcomedy.com, jkcomedy.com.
There we go. John, we're going to have you back next month, hopefully without any technical interruptions. And I love having you
Sounds
here, so
great.
Thanks for taking time out of your schedule. Say hi to your family for me.
I will. I appreciate it. We'll talk to everybody next month. I appreciate it, Garrett.
Thanks, John. Take care. We'll talk to you later. So everybody, again, sorry about the technical difficulty at the beginning of the show, but here is what's happening the rest of the week. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock, we have Charmin McGraw coming on to talk about her illness and her path to wellness. And then on Wednesday's show, we have psychic Rebecca Fisk. Thursday on Rated LGBT Radio, we're going to be welcoming TLC's, that's the Learning Channel's, Luke Lloyd. He's going to talk about his rise to fame. And then on the Friday night dance party, we have Eric EQ Young with a new single that he has out called One Special Love, and he's going to talk about his musical journey. And then, of course, at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, 6 days a week now, we're live. It's Super Gay Radio starring Paul and Mass. So we'll be having uncensored comedy from Paul and Mass this Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. It's enough to make you think that you're drinking a triple cappuccino with a splash of milk added into it. If you like the show, tell your friends to tune in. We're live 6 days a week. You can also find us on Apple's iTunes as a podcast. And if you like the show here, just click the follow button and you will see us every day that we're live, you'll get an email or text update. And my special thanks to John Cooperman for coming onto the show. Always love hearing him. He's so hysterical. You go support local comedy wherever you can. And we will see you live tomorrow night at 4 o'clock with Sharman McGraw right here on Rated G Radio. Take care.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.